This is Web Crawler with Andrew Hawthorne. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Web Crawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM Radio Network.
The tech industry has always had a gender problem. According to one study, only 18% of undergraduate computer science degrees and only about 26% of computing jobs are held by women. But one organization trying to do something about that is Ladies Learning Code, a national group dedicated to teaching kids and young women the skills they need to change those statistics. Today, I am talking to the Ladies Learning Code chapter lead, Dana Parsons. Hello, Dana.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing very good. So just to start off, I mean, why are these statistics in tech so bleak?
So I think traditionally the STEM careers, so science, technology, education, and math, have traditionally been a male sector. For one reason or another, over time, there was a bit of a gender bias in the engineering faculty, in computer science. They've typically just been seen as male-dominated jobs, the way traditionally teachers and nurses perhaps have been. So it's really just a culture, stemming from a culture shift at this point.
Yeah, and you've seen that in the public, too. I remember a few years ago, I think it was the president of Harvard or something, got in trouble because he basically said that women just didn't do math very well, and that's why they weren't getting into coding. Like, is that kind of bias shifting at all, or why do you think that attitude is still there?
Well, I think it's just because of the dominance traditionally of males in this role. I know at Memorial University, even the ratio of males to females in computer science and engineering, it's a far cry from 50-50, but it's never been that way. They've just traditionally been kind of the boys' club sort of careers and education paths that, you know, sometimes maybe girls can be intimidated or, you know, want to have some more people in their class or in their career path that they identify with. So I think it's changing with just the general demographics over time, but there's certainly things that we can do to expedite that.
And speaking of which, can you tell us a bit about what Ladies Learning Code is doing to expedite that?
Yeah, so Ladies Learning Code has actually been established here in Newfoundland for 4 years now. And what we do, we're not female only, but we create an environment where females can come and learn everything from HTML, CSS, which are the basic core ingredients of building a website, to Python, design skills, entrepreneurial skills. So we hold one-day workshops. We hold half-day workshops for girls. But again, we often still get, well, my husband would like to come. He heard about this awesome thing I was doing. So we're definitely not an exclusive group, but we really promote it so that it's a place where females feel comfortable. If we're doing a design challenge, perhaps we'll use Ryan Gosling as our subject. So it's definitely a little female friendly and really trying to increase those numbers. And for those who haven't thought about careers or a job or education in the STEM fields, to really kind of broaden their horizons to that. There's another piece that's very important as well is, you know, even if these individuals don't continue to go on to be programmers or coders or, you know, those really traditional things when we think about computer science, they may end up to be CEOs or project managers or entrepreneurs, and they'll have to be able to communicate with people who do those jobs, especially as we move forward into kind of this third wave of technology we're experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just as an example, we're conducting this interview now. I'm using a digital phone. I'm using a microphone setup, a computer with a word processor and a recorder, and I've got a smartphone. All of these are tech items coming from the STEM industry that, you know, I'm not in that industry myself, but I have to use this every day. So these are skills that anybody is going to be able to use, even if they're not doing it professionally. Hey.
Absolutely. So I'm actually the co-founder of Brownie Points, which is a tech startup here locally. And, you know, we have stores like Cast On, Cast Off, which is a knitting and wool store that has knitting circles. But they use our app and they integrate it with kind of their customer behavior. So even if you own a wool store or you own a pizza place or, you know, you want to create you're a designer and you want to create a new textile, technology is really everywhere. So if that's not the core piece of your role, still being able to communicate and understand what the expectations are of those that you're trying to guide is still very important.
And it's something, too, you know, I should say for the listener, if they're not familiar, when we were speaking about STEM jobs in the industry, and, you know, it's science, technology, engineering, and math, anything that is kind of building these tools or using these tools to create things, not just digitally, but also, you know, in the public sphere. You know, the programs that you described, from, you know, designing code for apps to HTML, and also you mentioned, you know, entrepreneurship and outreach. It's fascinating to think that could literally, like, teach somebody the basics for creating marketing through social media and creating a company around a digital project. Is that something that you're anticipating or that you've seen?
Absolutely. We are considering a couple of different options to do a part-time digital skills course now here in St. John's. We are partnering with one local community organization, and our intent is to, within 6 to 12 months, train those young women to be able to do, you know, a 2 to 3 page website, and then open up a social enterprise so that they can do those websites for other nonprofits. Traditionally, in our courses that we've held here, we've got a lot of craftspeople, artisans, who have been paying somewhere up to $20,000 for a website, and in one day realizing the capability that they have themselves to be able to create that. It's a huge barrier to some of these craftspeople and local entrepreneurs to get to the global market. And if we can teach them that skill set in a very short period of time, then that goes along with their creative skill and their educational background. And really, the sky's the limit. The globe then becomes their market.
What's the reaction been like in the community? What kind of feedback are you getting from the women and girls that you are seeing in class?
Well, they absolutely love it once they come and attend it. I still think that there's a little bit of a barrier getting people to approach it. And we always kind of joke, but getting on the internet at the beginning of the day for everybody is generally the toughest part of the whole workshop. But once everybody gets sorted, it's pretty easy. It's easy to follow along. We have a 4-to-1 student mentor ratio, so there's always help available. I still think there's an attitude in Eastern Canada, especially, and a little bit of a fear surrounding coding and kind of, you know, people think, oh, well, I need a computer science degree for that. The people who do computer science as a degree are kind of like the people who do linguistics when you're talking about languages. They understand how to construct new languages and how to architect things. Coding is really understanding that language and being able to speak it. So what we do, every workshop that we offer is beginner friendly. We start everybody off at a very, very slow pace, but very quickly the skill sets that are required to do some pretty impressive things, they don't take that long to create. So our HTML CSS workshop is my favorite. We have people come in at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 4 o'clock that afternoon, they have a multi-page website that they've created from scratch all on their own. And that sense of accomplishment is really amazing to see. We really convert people during that workshop, for sure.
Yeah, I think something you said about people being afraid of code is really true across the board, not just for women, but men as well. There's something where people, even people who go online a lot or use computers frequently, don't really kind of want to see how the sausage is made on this. And you know, like everybody has that cousin who is the computer science person who you know, your mom is going to call out when she has a problem or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the things that we reveal it in some of our workshops is how if you can go into a web browser, you can browse any website and you can right click on that website to reveal the code behind it. When people see these large, complex, applications or websites, nobody is creating things from scratch anymore. There's a lot of beg, borrow, and steal from other websites. So it's really just understanding the fundamentals. And I think through the workshops that we provide, we do an hour-long workshops for schools. We provide a teacher's teaching code course as well. And, of course, it's Canada Learning Code Week this week. But, you know, we provide kind of that bite-sized piece to really open the door. Now, not everybody is going to gravitate towards it, but we certainly try and dispel the myths and the fear of getting into it, for sure.
This is Web Trawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM Radio Network.
Are there opportunities for young women in tech here in the province, or opportunities in general? What's the state of the tech industry here?
Oh my gosh, it's abundant. You can literally pick and choose your role in the technology industry here and really anywhere. Canada as a whole, with kind of what's happening south of the border, has really been trying to recruit back expats from Silicon Valley, from New York, from other regions, because there are so many vacancies. I work with the Genesis Center here locally, and we have 16 companies right now in our portfolio. And between those 16 companies, I would say that there's at least 25 vacant positions in tech-related roles, whether that's front-end web development or user experience, kind of making sure that the website is laid out properly, or back-end working with databases. And, you know, it's unimaginable the amount of opportunity that's really there. So not only is there opportunity there, but then there's opportunity for diversity as well. You know, anybody who's looking for even a career change or a skill set to boost kind of their career options, or is thinking about, okay, I'm going into university, what basis do I want to really pick and choose my career? Coding as part of that, I think, is super important.
You know, the dream from a few years back was that this was going to be a lifeline for rural Newfoundland as well, that because of the nature of particularly coding, but the tech industry in general, you can basically do it from anywhere. You can telecommute or you can just program from home. Is that being realized, or is that something that we're still kind of aiming for here?
So I can't speak for every rural area, but during Canada Learning Code Week, there were 23 different workshops and activities, and the majority of them were in rural Newfoundland and Labrador. Bonavista, Grand Falls, really spread across the island. Last summer as well, we had the CodeMobile, which is a mobile kind of coding, 3D printing lab, go across the province as well. So it's getting out there. We're aiming in the next 6 to 12 months to have fully digital workshops as well, so those people who are in rural areas can really tap into this. We're also looking at focusing at seniors as well. The retired population are certainly a group that can use kind of these coding skills as well, or even just general computer literacy. So I think we're not quite there yet, but there are some partnerships in the works to really reach out there. Some individuals who have a keen thirst for the kind of the knowledge on their own have kind of picked it up in pockets. Just last year, TEDx St. John's Youth had Ella Blackmore present. She's a 12-year-old in Grand Falls who is actually teaching code to 8-year-olds in her school. So that's pretty impressive.
Wait a second. Did you just say you have a 12-year-old who is teaching code to 8-year-olds?
That's right. That's right. So, you know, it just requires kind of the right person to get out there and run with it. We've just recruited a brand new Girls Learning Code chapter lead. You know, we're getting there. We're working with Enlo now to kind of get out to more rural areas. But if there's a leader like this instance in Grand Falls, the resources are already there. So whether it's a teacher or it's a child that wants to teach other children, all you just need to do is find that passion for it, and it can really be done anywhere. There's plenty of free resources online.
You were a tech leader and an innovator before Ladies Learning Code. What is your background in the industry?
So traditionally, a lot of people will probably be happy to know that I actually did political science. So I don't traditionally come from an education background, but as a co-founder of a startup here in St. John's, I worked with that. But as well, I also, before that, had a consulting firm, which really brought innovation into already existing businesses. So, you know, I had kind of tinkered with it. I actually taught myself online front-end web development and kind of did it as a hobby. It's really about seeing, okay, am I happy where I am now? What do I want to do to improve kind of my future career, career path, my future career choices? And, you know, I just really had the foresight to say, okay, coding is going to be the next thing. So I was self-taught and then got into the world of tech startups, which is very, very much excelling here in Atlantic Canada and Newfoundland particularly.
Do you think that your experience in the industry is different due to gender? Have you seen any of the kind of blocks that other people have reported experiencing?
So while I haven't experienced them myself per se, I can definitely see that they're there. So I grew up kind of being a little bit of a tomboy. So I've never traditionally felt that, discrimination towards me. However, I can see it when I walk into my office of 16 companies. There's only one female founder out of those 16. Last summer, I participated in Fierce Founders at Communitech, which is in Kitchener-Waterloo, and it was 25 female founders that they brought together. And the relationships I was able to create and to, you know, really grow there, I just met with those founders last week in Toronto. It really does add something else when you find, you know, whether it's your gender or some other common trait, it really does help to enjoy what you're doing. But I think that there's a lot of females out there who you know, definitely don't mind being the only female in the class, but that, you know, we're only tapping into 50% of the population. So in order for our industries to thrive, for our businesses to thrive, we really need to be able to tap into 100% of the resources that are out there.
That's a really good way to put it. Do you think that this is changing already? And if so, is it changing for the better or for the worse? Because we've seen programs like Ladies Learning Code around who are trying to encourage this and kind of combat the stigma that people, men and women, have, that women aren't usually welcome in these kind of industries. But we've also seen pushback in terms of things like Gamergate and really violent reaction from people who don't want women to be in these industries. Like, is there an equilibrium happening, or are things progressing?
Well, I believe they're definitely progressing on a grassroots level here in Newfoundland and Labrador. We do see those stories like Uber, who has a very unfemale-friendly atmosphere, but they do get brought because, of course, social media is so prevalent these days. None of this really happens quietly anymore. So anytime something is kind of happening or, there is something negative, it's often out in the social atmosphere, and really attention is brought to it and actions are taken to kind of correct it. But I do feel here in Newfoundland and Labrador, in Atlantic Canada, and especially in Eastern Canada, which is really kind of my where I've had experience, there's definitely a lot of programs, a very open mind to gender equality in that area, but as well for immigration. It's a huge opportunity for immigration as well. The Canadian government and the provincial government has taken steps towards immigration with regard to coding and computer-based skills and jobs as well. So it's really an opportunity for everybody. It really shows no bias. Even those individuals who might have a disability, whether that's a physical or they're on the autism spectrum, coding is really that unique that there's a role there for everyone. And I think the more companies realize that the quicker they realize that, the better their skills force can get, which is the better that their products can get. So I think it's an inevitable, unless you're really kind of pushing back against it.
What can people, individuals, and also companies do to combat the lack of women in tech currently in the province as this new generation of 12-year-olds teaching 8-year-olds code just before they're coming up? What can people do now?
I really think that, if you're an established business, even sending, or not sending, but offering the opportunity of Ladies Learning Code courses or online learning or, some type of continuing education, will really help those individuals who are already in a corporate world understand the world of tech. And then, it's passed down to their children. They, for me, as being a grown-up here in St. John's, my parents would often say, well, when are you going to get a real job? Because they really don't understand the whole tech kind of field. They don't understand entrepreneurship so much when it comes to something that you can't touch, feel, and sell. So I think really education and companies can really start with their own kind of core staff that they do have and opening their eyes to it, because really technology can increase the efficiency of any organization, whether it's the Department of HR or you're at the Health Science Center. Technology can really be brought into any organization to improve it. So really, from the top down and bottom up, it really needs to come from both angles. And then besides that, really bringing in and learning from co-op students who are maybe at the university. It's a very low risk. There's money available for it. Computer science co-op students, engineering co-op students. It's a great way to start introducing innovation and technology to your organization and really kind of opening your eyes to the innovation and, the possibilities that these type of things can create. And I think you'll find that in computer science now, there are more females. There are females looking for jobs. There are individuals who have disabilities. There are individuals who are, on student visas from other countries. So it's a great way. I think we need to get big industry to be a leader in this as well. Corporate innovation is a big thing in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, where established companies often do a tech collider as such to introduce new technologies to their traditional business.
And what's coming up in the near future for Ladies Learning Code that people might want to get involved with?
Yeah, so over the summer, we have a couple of workshops. We have game making. So one workshop is game making. I believe that might be next weekend. And basically, in 4 hours, we teach you how to make, we teach kids how to make a game similar to a very viral sensation called Flappy Bird. And then in July, we're doing photo editing with Pixlr. So take your summer vacation photos and we'll teach you how to edit them and how to kind of create a small brand for yourself. Then in August, we're going to do a teaching teachers how to teach code for going back into the school year in September. And another thing we're doing, we're partnering with Enlo to do a part-time skills development program, which is really the entire 360 of building a website with interactivity. It's over 50 hours of instruction, and that will be kind of happening mid to late July.
And if people would like to learn more or talk to you about this kind of stuff that's going on, how can they reach you?
So they can go to ladieslearningcode.com. So Ladies Learning Code is the umbrella organization right now that oversees the rest of the Kids Learning Code, Girls Learning Code. Or they can just look up Learning Code NL on Facebook, or just kind of Google Ladies Learning Code. We're pretty much everywhere. And they can find us online through LinkedIn, any of the social media sites.
All right, Dana Parsons, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
This has been Web Trawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM Radio Network.